right, let's start with a little bit of a review. And last week we talked about the fallen angels. And when did these angels fall from their holy state? Doing some calculations in the scriptures, when would have that happened? Better remember?
Did you say something between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2?
No, not between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. That's when it didn't happen. That's when the gap theory says it might have happened. When?
After the creation.
And before the fall. That's right. After the creation, before the fall. I see. If you put it between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, then you got the gap theory guys on your side. All right. Well, it gives us something good to talk about here. So it's between Genesis 2 and 3, basically when it was, between the fall, creation and the fall. All right. What are some modern terms related to contacting evil spirits or evil angels? What are some of the terms that are used? Sasha?
Witchcraft,
sorcery. All right. So there's witchcraft, warlocks, wizards, Wicca, charmers, spiritism, spiritualism, astrology, and a bunch of other ones. There you go. There's a bunch more that could be added to it. Yep. Okay, which two Old Testament chapters likely describe the fall of Satan? Garrett.
Isaiah 12,
yeah,
Ezekiel 42.
Double the 12.
24.
No, it was 28. Oh, I guess it wasn't double the 12. It was 14. It's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Okay? So those are the two chapters. It's good for you to know that because, you know, that those are kind of things that come up in conversation from time to time. Okay, name some of the ways. Somebody's playing games with Peter's button. Name some of the ways Satan is promoting witchcraft today. Good.
Movies.
Okay. Movies. Sorry?
Games.
Yeah, movies, games, cartoons, Harry Potter, television. Music. Yeah, there's a lot of it in music as well. Yeah, that's good. All right. Very good. All right, tonight we're going to dig into man's creation. This is an interesting one and one that we all are somewhat familiar with, but it's good for us to have a good review of it and so we make sure that we understand what's going on here. The creation of man and woman. God created man and woman on the sixth day of creation. Genesis 1:24-31 discusses that. And the course we sing, God made everything 6,000 years ago in just six short days. That's a good course to remind yourself of what was taking place. Okay, each day of creation was a literal 24-hour day about 6,000 years ago. Now, these are things that are very important for us to remember because there's all kinds of ideas out there that try to mix evolution with creationism. And we don't need to do that. We just need to hold to the Bible and defend what the Bible says, that God created everything in 6,000 years ago in 24-hour days, six literal days. Everywhere else in the Old Testament, when the Hebrew word day or yom appears with evening or morning or is modified by a number, the sixth day, the fifth day, it is always means 24-hour day. Come from Answers in Genesis website. And that's a good thing to remember as well, because people might say, you know, well, it was a long day, but that's not how the word is used in Scripture. So we just need to be consistent with how it's used in Scripture, and it'll keep us out of a lot of trouble that way. And God himself made man male and female at the beginning, and Jesus made that clear in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, he says, and answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And, you know, that is significant today because there's so much push for the homosexual ideas and thinking, and you know, it is amazing how much of this stuff has crept in, even in the last 30 years. It's just almost unbelievable that it's a reality in our world. God did not use evolution to create, and we need to make sure we understand that and grasp that in our minds. God did not use evolution to create. And as we look at this, we see that God did not use any form of evolution to create anything, including man. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created that were in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him." All right? So God didn't use any of that. Now, evolution is a foolish man-made theory of origins. It is not based on repeatable, observable facts. It is based on assumptions. Therefore, evolution is not scientific, for science has to do with only with facts. Evolutionism is a religion believed by faith. Now, all these little things here are, I know that you guys know these things, but it's good for us to be reminded of these and tuck them in your brain, because when you're discussing something with someone that doesn't believe this, you got to get these things to be able to come back onto your mind. And in the next 2 weeks, you're going to be listening to a couple more chapters from Greg Kogel's book, Tactics, to help you to be able to come up with the right kind of questions to ask at the right times and to be able to think. And, one of the greatest things about Kogel's book is that he challenges you to think about things. So many times, people have said things to me and I've tried to debate with him or I've tried to defend myself. And he says, don't do that. Don't try to defend yourself or don't try to explain. They say, I believe in evolution and you believe in creationism, so, prove to me that evolution's wrong. No, that's not my problem. That's his problem. He's got to prove that it's wrong. And he's got to prove that it's right. So get him to ask questions. And Kogel's going to be really good at helping us with this. But this kind of stuff here is great information to have tucked in the back of your mind. Fossils must form rapidly. Thus, they support creationism and the flood, not evolution. Scientists know that. You cannot create a fossil slowly because the bones and everything will rot. And if the fossils were just bones, you could say, it takes a long little period of time. But a lot of times, even things of jellyfish and stuff like that, fossils, how on earth do you fossilize a jellyfish slowly? Impossible. But with creationism and the flood, makes perfectly good sense because things were buried so rapidly. So again, tuck those in your mind and keep them for a day when you need them when you're discussing. Scientific data methods are inconsistent and assume that deterioration speed has never changed. And that is very, very important as well, because they'll say, well, the dating methods show that, no, the dating methods don't work, because they're assuming that the things have always been the way that they always are. And yet we know even from volcanoes and things of that nature that things aren't always the way that they always are, because it changes with catastrophic events. And Christian scientists have taken those things from Mount St. Helens that blew up in 1980, and use that as an explanation to help to see and to realize that it didn't happen over long periods of time, but very quickly. Creationism in the Bible is the Bible's literal record of origins. It is by its very nature, divine creation cannot be observed or repeated. Yet it is clearly taught. It's a fact in the Bible, the oldest book known to man. Creationists accept the literal Bible record of creation by faith. And we're not ashamed of that. But the thing of it is that evolutionists try to say, we have a faith-based belief, and they have a science-based belief, and that is a lie. That is not true. And so we need to make sure we understand that. All attempts to merge creation and evolution using theistic evolution. All right, so let's just talk about these for a moment. There's theistic evolution, Dage theory, and the gap theory. So what is theistic evolution? Just briefly. Okay, that God started things going and he used evolution in it. All right, he may have used evolution in various forms, but God kind of was the catalyst that got it going, and then evolution kind of took over from there. But what is the gap theory? Gary?
I think it's referring to like time. I think like they believe in, I think, creation, but they sell from day one to like day whatever, it was like actually millions of years.
No, that's the long, that's the day age theory. The gap theory is between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, and Genesis 1:2 says that the earth was without form and void. And so they say, well, look at there. God created everything, and then it was without form and void. So therefore, obviously, there was a big gap in between there when everything fell apart. And that, so there was actually another whole world that God created in Genesis 1:1, and then the millions of years in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 when everything fell apart, and then God put it back together again. And so basically, Genesis 1 and 2 are just God's recreation of what got messed up when the devil fell from heaven and he wrecked the first creation, and God's just making a new one. That's a crazy theory, but there's a lot of people that believe that. Then the day-age theory is what Garrett was talking about, where one day equals 1,000 years and 1,000 years equals a day, and they don't think about the fact that that just cancels each other out. And those verses just tell us that God's not stuck in time, but to say that each day was 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years, you got real problems with that, because, you know, God didn't create life until several days down the road, but yet there had to be light in there somewhere, and it doesn't work, you know, because of all the things that God created. It had to have been 24-hour days, right? So those things are important there. They try to merge creation and evolution, and this is corrupts creation, and it contradicts the Bible's literal account. One cannot believe in a literal account of creation and evolution at the same time. Not possible. And so, important for us to grasp that and understand that, because that's some of the stuff that's going to come back at you as you discuss it with people, and they're going to bring up those kind of thoughts. Okay, any questions or anything? Okay, so man's unique. And man is unique in God's creation. Man is not an animal, as science claims. You know, I remember studying in school, I was taught that man is an animal, it's the highest of the animals, and we're just another one of those creatures that are on the earth. Man is unique from animal life in that God created him a living soul and body. Man thinks, feels, wills, and has self perception and self-determination. It's a quote from Elmer Towns, and man is unique, and we need to understand that. God created man in his image, Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And before man sinned, he was a reflection of God in his nature. Garrett, hi, Johnny.
So with man being unique, would it be more, the unique part of self would be more that he has a will and a self-determination, because a life and the ability to think is not unique to man. I mean, we know from other places that animals do feel.
They do have feelings. You know, if you hit the dog, he's going to howl.
They don't have a will.
But they don't have a will.
Yeah.
And as far as thinking, they do have a brain to a degree. I mean, I think. Not so sure about some of them. But they are able to think, but they're not able to reason. Maybe reason would be a better word for it than think there, because as far as sitting down, you know, like the animals don't, you know, dogs don't get together in the evening and say, oh, how's your day been? Oh, yeah, I had a good day, you know, I was out chasing rabbits and caught one, it was good, and, you know, missed a bunch of them, but they don't sit down and talk about that. They don't have that kind of thinking reason. But they are able to think to a degree. I mean, I can call my dog and, you know, and talk to her, and she understands certain commands and obeys the ones she wants to. But they do have a brain to be able to think, but you're right. But that quote there was from Elmer Towns, but, you know, I can see where you're coming from on that. All right. Yes, ma'am.
That Towns really underestimates spoken language in that argument as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nothing else but man. Well, maybe parrots can copy, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think the will is definitely the biggest distinction. Mm-hmm. They're able to be self-willed. I mean, animals are instinctive. They can't will anything.
Yes, and this next quote comes from various sources here, but this also expands on that. Man has a soul, personality, moral consciousness, righteousness, the ability to think abstractly, and an understanding of beauty and emotion, and above all, the capacity to worship and love God. All right, so those are some more things that go along with that. Distinguish man from the other creatures. My dog's never out there worshiping anything besides his food. All right. God created man out of dust. And Genesis 2:7 there, God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God created him a little lower than the angels. Psalm 8:5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And then God gave man dominion over all his creation. And again, that was something God didn't tell the lion, that he had dominion over all the creation. The lion might be called the king of the beasts, but he doesn't have dominion over all creation. He doesn't control them. He may scare them, but he doesn't control them. And man had that ability. And some of that was probably lost in the fall. In fact, I'm sure it was part of what was lost in the fall. But he did have, and still does have, a certain degree of dominion over the animals. A man is a three-part being, soul, spirit, soul, and body. And Thessalonians speaks of this in chapter 5, and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot of argument and debate as to what all that means. How is there a distinction? Here's one man's idea of it. He says that the spirit is capable of God consciousness, the soul is the seat of self consciousness, and the body is of self, a sense consciousness. All right, so he says there's God consciousness, self consciousness, and sense consciousness. So that was one man's interpretation of that that maybe be able to give you some help on that. Man has an outward and inward part. The Lord talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So we have an outward man, our body, the outside of us. The inward man is that part that's deep down inside that is renewed day by day as we walk with the Lord. And so there's a distinction there. So God made man very much unique to the animals. A man's outward man, God created him with a body. And since God does not have a body, according to John 4:24, God is a spirit, the image of God cannot refer to his body. So that's an important for us to see that when we talk about the image of God, we're not talking about the shape or the bodily form, because God doesn't have a body. And even the formation of life in a human mother is a mystery and a marvel of God's creation. Psalm 139 tells us there that he says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was hid from thee, not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." It's an amazing passage when you think about that. If God describes the growth of a child in his mother's womb. And all forms then of abortion are murder of human life. God created us in his image, and we are not to do that, including drugs that kill at conception. You know, that's a sad, but there's a lot of the preventions of pregnancy that actually are not preventions, that actually kill after conception. And so we need to make sure we do our research on that. The physical body of man is not the total man. It is the only, his temporary tent. There in 2 Corinthians 5:1, he talks about that. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Okay. So, reminding us of that truth. And then he says that the body can die. When a person dies, the body returns to dust. We saw that in Genesis 3:19. He says, dust thou art, and dust shalt return. And Ecclesiastes 12:7 mentions similar. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. But his soul is going to live on. And we see there in Luke 16. Anybody remember what the Luke 16 passage is about? Monica? Yes, the rich man and Lazarus. In verse number 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. All right, so both of them were still alive, though they were dead. Their soul or spirit was still alive, whereas their body was no longer alive. And that's an important truth for us to never forget. Okay, now we talked about the outward man. Now let's take a look at the inward man. All right, the inward man, God has made man with both a spirit and a soul. Sometimes these terms are used interchangeably, and other times they are distinguished. And so verses like 1 Thessalonians 5:23 we read earlier, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless on the coming of the Lord. So though they're used together there, but then we read in another passage. Sorry. Too many things to run here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, he says there that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So there he talks about the soul and the spirit being distinct. But they're both part of us, but they're a distinct part of us. Then Genesis 2:7, God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, so God breathed into him life, but he became a living soul. And again, there's this distinction there. And the spirit and soul will live forever, either with the Lord or in the lake of fire. And as you think on that, that's a sad reality for many people that do not know the Lord, that they will spend eternity separated from him. And we just need to pray for him and witness to him, that's for sure. Some more things about the inward man. The moment a Christian dies, his spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. A great verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. All right? So that's a great verse to keep in mind when you're trying to comfort someone. If their loved one knew the Lord and they died, the moment they die, they're with the Lord. And they will come back with him. Then we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, he talks about God coming back with the saints. And so it's their spirit that's going to come back with him. And the souls of men that are passed on by the Father, the souls of men are passed on by the Father. This is the reason all mankind needs a Savior. All right, so we get our soul from our parents, particularly our father, apparently. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus did not have a human father. Therefore, he was sinless. Okay? Now, just some questions, review. So we've covered this, and like I said at the beginning, all this material we've looked at here tonight was not new. It was just more of a review. But it's important for us to have that review refreshed in our minds so that we can have it ready to when we're talking with people. Because we need that information. There's nothing worse than trying to talk to somebody and you say, I can't remember what that was. It was something important I needed to tell you and I can't think of what it was. And so we needed it fresh in our mind. And so the review is good for us. Now, let's just give the basic facts of creation. All right, that's a pretty broad statement there. There's an awful lot of basic facts of creation. But any thoughts that come to your mind right off? Basic facts of creation.
Well,
All right, well, let's just take a look here. God created all things in 6 literal 24-hour days about 6,000 years ago. We sing our little song. God made everything 6,000 years ago in just 6 short days. And those are some very basic but very important facts. That really sums up the creation view right there in just a couple of lines to help us to articulate what we believe. What is the difference between the outward and inward man? The outward man would consist of what? Our body. Okay, our body. And the inward man is our spirit and our soul. Okay? So the outward man is our body, the inward man is our spirit and our soul. Okay? What verse says that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord?
2 Corinthians 5:8. Very good.
2 Corinthians 5:8. Good. And what are some things that show we are in the image of God? Tyler?
I suppose the universal recognition of divinity. I mean, like, no other animals that think about the concept of where do things come from. Humans innately sense that there is a divinity, because every culture, regardless of where they are, even in the jungle, they'll make up gods because they feel there should be a divinity.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. And there's so many things we could have in there. But man has a soul, he's got a personality, moral consciousness, righteousness, a sense of righteousness there, the ability to think abstractly, an understanding of beauty and emotion, and above all, the capacity to worship and love God. And that's really the last one there, is what John just brought up. And that is so true. You can go in the depths of the deepest jungles, and people still were worshiping something. Because they knew that there was something out there that was bigger and greater than they were. And a very, very important fact for us to grasp. Now, let's just take a 3 probing questions here. Why is evolution so devastating in today's society? Garrett?
Well, because it teaches that there is no God and that we're all just pretty much our own gods, which means there's no moral standard, which means you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. No accountability, no standard, no judgment day coming, nothing to fear. We're all just products of evolution and slime from the pond. Yes?
Isn't that fascinating that even as people say there's no accountability, there's no morality, you say, is murder wrong? Oh yeah, murder's wrong.
I know.
About stealing, not stealing's wrong, you know.
Exactly.
Where do you get that from?
Exactly. And see, what you just brought up is exactly what Kogo will talk about. As you go through that book, he talks about the same kind of things. People make statements like that, and like they'll say, he uses an illustration that, well, I just believe everything, I believe in relativism. And, you know, everything's relative. He says, does that include the statement you just made?
Situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's by asking questions, you can get people to think that a lot of stuff that they're saying just doesn't make sense. And they're not really contemplating it very well. But very good. Good input. Next one. What are some facts that can help you to defend creationism? There's some things that we can use to help defend it. Jared?
Well, evidence. I mean, there is a lot of evidence out there, if you know what it is, like especially things like the flood. You can show a lot of evidence. Or, I mean, it's hard to like take someone physically somewhere and try and give them an example. But if you know some information ahead.
Okay, so let's just think of some things that everybody would recognize and be able to see. Peter?
Design.
Design.
The classic is you're walking along the beach and you find a wristwatch and you say, oh, look what the tide threw up. Look what the elements are brought together. And everyone looks at it and says, no, someone made that. It's obvious. It's evident. And creation itself is evident.
Yep.
It's self-evident.
Yeah, very good. Even our body. I mean, you look at your body and the amazing things about our body. You cut your finger and it'll heal. Why? And everything works. And you can move all your fingers and all your toes all at once and your brain is telling them all to do that. And you think, how does that happen? And then when they start saying, well, yeah, it's just all just evolutionary good chance on all these things. But the big problem with the body situation is that if it all evolved slowly, then how did you get along fine without a heart before you know, you got your brain, but then you didn't have a heart and you didn't have lungs? And it's just you can't work with it. So there's lots of things like that. Gary?
Well, a good example of what you're just saying now is that they will say, oh, we came from monkeys, right? So you take a monkey and you take people. But there's millions of years in between, right? There shouldn't there be like millions of fossils and examples of
yes.
all these people, but there's nothing.
Yes.
Just what they've made up,
yes.
pretty printed, and just from some little piece of bone they're playing. Yep.
That's a very good point, too. Okay, good. Jeremy?
I think a common thing that people always misunderstand is that this example, you know, like they did the genome project many years ago, you know, where they looked at the human genome, and they also looked at like plant genomes and animal genomes, right? And they were pointing out that, oh, see, humans share like this percentage of genomes with this thing or this thing, because you can actually show, you can actually put it next side by side, but... So, you know, they'll say something like, well, we share like a very large percentage of our genome with like chimpanzees, right? But what people don't understand is that, for example, we share 75% of our genome with a mouse. That sounds like a lot, but look at the difference. Just because something has similarities does not mean that it is in any way the same thing. I mean, of course there are going to be similarities because a lot of the same mechanisms inside of animals are very similar to us. They use oxygen,
yep.
they use proteins, they need amino acids. So you can expect that there's going to be incredible amount of similarities
yeah.
between us and the animals biologically.
Yeah.
So similarity is, like, people don't realize just a small discrepancy in DNA difference makes a gigantic difference.
Yes, that's the point you need to bring out at the end, is that, you know, yes, we may have a lot of things in common, but it's not the things we have in common that are making the big difference here. It's the things we don't have in common that
yeah.
are very
yeah.
significant, very significant. All right, great.
That's
one last question. Yes,
right.
Peter.
Most people get creation and evolution from Darwin's Origin of Species. And in the Origin, he actually says, he hypothesized that there would be links between the species. And he went on to say, if we can't find these links, because he didn't know whether they were or not at the time, then my whole theory falls down.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
I suppose just one more thing. I think this is probably one that people don't often mention, but I think it's just... a good one is that if evolution is an inevitable part of the progression of time, the things, this is an example, they say we evolved from, like example, they say like cows evolved from whales. That's one of the claims because of the bones, right? But the thing is, how come cows that supposedly they evolved from millions of years ago in the ocean are still in the ocean and those whales haven't evolved any further? How come some things on the evolutionary tree have just stopped evolving, but the other ones conveniently haven't? So shouldn't there not be chimps today that we evolved from? Shouldn't there not be whales that cows evolved from? Shouldn't they have moved on as well?
Yeah.
So it's like these things just come to a dead end millions of years ago. So evolution works when it needs to work, but it stops when it needs to stop. That also doesn't make any sense.
No, you're right, it doesn't. All right, so one last question. What could you say to help a woman see that abortion is wrong? Jared?
Well, I think just ask logical questions, like, at what age do you think that it's wrong? I mean, because you can get, you know, like, I know it's a tricky question in a sense, if you don't know what you're talking about, you still go to a certain point, but, you know, some people will say a few months even, it's fine. Well, you can ask them, well, you know, like, is killing this age wrong? And go, just keep going back, and then if they say, oh, yeah, that age is okay. Ask them, like, why? Like, if you actually just ask them questions, they'll let you kind of stumble over themselves.
See, along with that, too, is that, you know, they like to call the baby a fetus until it's born, and then it's not a fetus, it's a child. Well, then you got to ask, well, where in this whole, between conception and birth, did it become a human? You know, what makes that change? Why does it change from a fetus to a human? Jeremy?
It's interesting, just a while. Not too long ago, there was a case in somewhere in Perth. A woman was driving, and she was drunk, and she actually hit the family, like a man and a woman. But the woman was pregnant. I think she was like 5 months pregnant. So this is recently. I think I mentioned somebody. But the thing though is that they were. So she was on negligent charges for 3 counts of like whatever the
bodily harm.
Yeah. Like,
including the fetus, wasn't it?
Yeah, including the baby, right? So they also had the funeral. So should the criminal court recognize that? As that you've essentially kind of unintentionally, but still through your negligence, killed the baby as well. But then that same legal system wouldn't recognize it in abortion. It's just very interesting to me. Like you tell it to people, yeah. Their brains kind of fry. They can't.
Yeah.
They damned either way.
The law recognized it was killed, but they wouldn't recognize it was alive in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. So they literally, people fall apart when you point that out. They literally cannot answer it. They stop glitching. What do I say? Either way.
It is crazy the way our world looks at things, that's for sure. So, well, very good. I appreciate your input tonight. It's been very good, and a good review for us and a good reminder for us. So.